Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Let me see if I can find a sweet spot for the microphone. Still hear me? All right, cool. All right. It's Pink Sunday. It's Rejoice Sunday. I had to correct several people who said, you look good in pink. And when I told them it's not pink, they said, okay, rose. And then I corrected them, it's salmon. But most people don't see it that way. It's a rose, fair enough. And it represents, right, this third Sunday of Advent, a Rejoice Sunday. But the question is what are we rejoicing? Sometimes we kind of lose sight in Advent about what it is we should be thinking of and focusing on, and what should we be rejoicing. And not only that, but then what does rejoicing look like? Do we run around screaming Yahoo and shooting off fireworks and things like that? What does it look like? Because sometimes, when times are hard, it's really hard to see where joy is. It's hard to think about what we should rejoice in. It can get lost. That Christophonic book, Finding Joy, hopefully some of you have picked it up and read it, has a very interesting line in it. And what it says is that joy isn't what happens when life goes perfectly. It's what happens when you know you're loved perfectly, even when life is a mess. That can still kind of be hard to swallow. So we're going to touch a little bit on the readings, and then we're going to talk about things that we can rejoice in. And they might not be everything that you think about. So in our first reading, what we heard is that we are loved. Period. We're loved. Right? God actually rejoices in us. He delights in us. He even sings songs about us. He loves us that much. Is that something to rejoice in and be joyful for? Absolutely. In the second reading, we hear St. Paul, and he's absolutely appealing for us to rejoice. Now, here's what you might not know about that. Paul wrote that while he was imprisoned. He was in prison at the time, and he's still finding things to rejoice about. What the heck is there to rejoice about when you're imprisoned? Again, we're going to touch on that in just a minute. But first, let's talk just a little bit about the gospel, right? We hear about John the Baptist, which, as we've heard in some of the other readings and some of the other gospels, he's not exactly the most attractive man on earth. Kind of smells, dresses funny, preaches a lot of fire and brimstone. But something strange happened. And they talk about it. They say people were filled with expectation. They thought he might be the Messiah. They were so excited over what he was saying. But what was he saying that we don't hear all the time? Everything that he was saying is stuff that has been talked about, that God has taught, that Christ then came to earth and continued to teach the entire time. He wasn't saying anything that was, you know, completely earth-shattering. There's no great new information. So why were they so excited? It's my thought that maybe they were excited because not just was he preaching it, they saw a man living it. They saw a man actually living joy. They saw a man actively rejoicing. There are words and then there are actions, agreed? Actions can speak louder than words. So they're rejoicing seeing this man living in joy, in a passion that they don't see otherwise. Take a moment to think about how different the world would be if we lived just a little bit that way. If we lived our joy, if we focused on the good things instead of how easy it is to focus on the frustrating and bad things. How might this world be different? That's some of what we need to focus on when we talk about joy in God. Some of what we need to focus on when we talk about rejoicing. Because joy isn't a mood. It's not like happiness, because happiness can come and go. It's much deeper. It's something that endures. And it's the kind of thing that we can find in Christ. So what do I mean by this? What does this mean to you? Kind of one of those questions I always ask. What does this mean to us? What it means is that we need to understand the real meaning of Advent. Why we should rejoice. Because it's not because we're getting presents. It's not because there's going to be this great feast, although those are all good things. But those aren't the reasons. We need to make sure we're focused on faith, hope, love. Those are the things that we need to rejoice in. Those are the things that we need to find joy, because that's real everlasting joy. We tend to forget that during hard times. It's very easy to remember it when things are going well. It's a little bit more difficult when the times are hard. So think about rejoicing in things like the birth of a child. Think about rejoicing in friends and family. Think about rejoicing in those around you. Think about rejoicing in our faith. Think about rejoicing in the saints. But also think about, and this is the key, rejoicing in the ordinary things that occur every day. Because some of God's greatest glory is out there every day, and we miss it. Because God didn't create us just to rejoice in very obvious things. He wants us to rejoice in the little things. And I'm going to end with a story that hopefully puts this in perspective. How many people here know who Joshua Bell is? A couple people. Yeah, I didn't. But I found out. Joshua Bell is an absolute master violinist. Some say he might be the best in the world. And in 2007, the Washington Times did a study, I guess would be the way to. What they did was they gave the world's greatest violinist, they let him take his Stradivarius violin, which even I know that's kind of cool, and he went into a metro station in Washington, D.C. He opened up the case, he stepped back, and he started playing, just like many people do in metro stations. The world's greatest violinist was in a metro station playing. And what do you think happened when people came walking through the metro station and they heard him? They walked by him. They didn't give him two thoughts for the most part. Every once in a while, a person would stop by and go, and then go on about their lives because they had things to do, places to go, people to see. At the end of an hour, he got a total of $32, which I guess he thought was pretty cool. But in reality, people walked by the greatest violinist on earth playing some of the hardest pieces on earth on a $30 million violin. And they didn't take the time to listen to him. How often are we walking down the street and we miss a Joshua Bell? Might be a little child at the store. It might be someone on the street that can bring you just that little bit of joy if we just stop and look. That's kind of what I want to challenge you to do. When you go out the rest of this Advent season, look. 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 Stop and listen. The splendor of God is out there. In our busy lives of wondering, I got the place to go, people to see, things to do, we forget everything that God gave us. We tend to miss that. Those are the things that we need to rejoice in. For the rest of Advent, let's try to focus on that. I want you to make sure it's rejoicing a mic that's, yeah. make sure you take the time to pray, without a doubt. Take the time to give thanks in those things that you need to give thanks for. But also take the time to rejoice in the obvious little things. Because when you leave here and you stop and look, I do believe you're going to find so very many things to actually rejoice about.